You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to a Monday. A Monday on the end of a freaking hot weekend. But we're glad you're with us, and that would be Butters on the board. Hey man, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We've got nice air conditioning. It's beautiful.
And we have it cranked way down.
Although I can't say I wouldn't prefer to maybe be out on the river right now. But
okay, we could do a show from the river one day. Can we make that happen? How would you do that?
We'll figure it out.
Okay, I'm game. Let me know if you can figure that out. We may have a thing. By the way, no guests today. Too much content. Like I began to look at the stuff and I thought, Ooh, I need to develop that one. Okay, we're not going to have any guests today. I'm just going to go ahead. Now, that doesn't mean y'all can't call in. Y'all call in all you want to. Y'all aren't guests. Y'all are family. Y'all just call in whenever you feel like it. Text it in. We will go with your flow the entire time. But I've got some stuff on the triple dipper that's just like bar none. So hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, State of the Force. There's an article that came out today that I have taken issue with. When has that ever happened before? I am taking serious issue with it. Military.com has a piece today that says that all of the recruiting issues we're facing in the U.S. military, it's a male problem. You heard me. They're blaming men. We'll talk about it in great detail because, you know, bottom line is I take issue with that. State of the Force, number one, Triple Dipper. Y'all stay tuned for that one. Number two, I didn't get to it Friday, so we're getting to it today. At least that's the plan. Calling it the power play. It's amazing the way that climate activists and liberal progressives in the green energy policy arena will just basically cannibalize themselves. Just rip themselves a new one every single day. And you look at it and go, do y'all have a plan, or is it just like every man for themselves? We're going to talk about it. It's the power play. That's number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, I've been looking around at some of the things that are happening that reduce our own ability to have safe streets. Things that are happening that you look at the decisions that are made, you think, God almighty, how in the world can they make those decisions and say, that's a good idea, let's do it that way? Oh no, it doesn't make any sense, good common sense at all. So I'm calling this dipper common sense security, and we'll talk about that in great detail as the show goes on. All right, let me jump on over here to the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll just start by saying this. So the world is not a steady place right now, right? It's not. There's wars and rumors of wars. We're engaged in some hostile situations, but we're not currently at war as a nation. But if we think for a minute that there will ever be another time, that there will never be another time of war, then we're just living in la-la land. I'll be honest with you. I told a group recently that one day many years ago when I was a young lieutenant, I was talking with my father. He was a career Army officer and a combat veteran. And I asked him, I said, Dad, you think I'll ever go to war? And I've never forgotten his answer. He just said, Son, there's never been an American generation who did not have a war. Huh. Think about that. It's true. If that's the case, though, then what do we do right now? In this time of relative peace, somewhere between actual wars, what should we be doing? In a time of war, we fight. But in a time of peace, I submit that we should be preparing for the next fight, not because we want it, not because we need it, or not because we go looking for it. We prepare for war to hopefully then keep war at bay. It's the epitome of what Reagan called peace through strength. All right, let me switch gears here just for a second and take you down a different thread, and I'll bring it all back together. Have you ever done a word study? And what I mean by that is, you ever taken the sayings of great thinkers or leaders or even verses from the Bible and then break them down in their original context, maybe their original language, It's amazing how much of what we take for granted within the English translation of something doesn't really get translated well from its original source. And we lose so much. But when you do the word study, you begin to find the underlying meanings of the actual words. So here's an out there thought for you. What happens when we study the word peace? So in the English language, peace is a noun, sometimes an adjective. Peace in English is generally a thing, or at the very least a descriptive term. But peace, can it be a verb? Can peace be an action word? Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And then Colt developed a world-class pistol and called it the peacemaker. One version's a noun, one's an adjective. It is possible for nations to make peace treaties. It is possible for a person to have peace or to know peace or to seek out a peaceful moment in a busy schedule. But can you actually do peace? Can peace be a true action in and of itself? Okay, so in the English language, the answer is apparently no. But going back to Scripture in Matthew, when Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," one study I read said that the original Greek translation, they didn't have a Greek word to pull from. They had to rely on a Hebrew tradition. And in Hebrew, peace can be an actual verb. In that language, the answer to my question is yes, it's possible to actually do peace. In Hebrew, peace can be an action. All right, so it almost sounds like an oxymoron, like we're talking, you know, taking opposites and making them attract. The idea of peace in the English language sounds calm, but the idea of peace in Hebrew is really just a period between conflicts. A brief respite in an otherwise chaotic world in which we catch our breath and then keep doing all that's necessary to preserve the peace while preparing for the war. As George Washington said in his first annual address to Congress, he said, quote, "To be prepared for war is the most effectual means of preserving the peace." I believe it was a verb tense version of peace that Ronald Reagan intended when he pressed the idea of peace through strength. Reagan believed the best time to prepare for conflict was when there was no conflict, and that by doing so, our enemies would see us as too big of an obstacle, therefore avoid conflict, and by doing so, we'd have more peace. In fact, Reagan believed in the idea of actually doing peace. So let me take this time to tell a story here real quick. I think I've told it before, but I'm going to tell it again. It's a great one. I love this story. One that I may have shared in the past, like I said, but my father, he worked at Army Missile Command in the latter part of his time in service. Once he retired from the Army, he went to the Pentagon as a contractor working on the Strategic Defense Initiative. The public knew it as Star Wars. It was a space-based anti-missile capability. The Soviets were scared to death of it, and we were secretly also, by the way, having trouble mastering it. In other words, one of the best-kept secrets was that as we prepared for this portion of peace through strength, it really was not a viable plan. But the Soviets, they didn't know that. In 1986, Ronald Reagan had his second summit with Mikhail Gorbachev, leader of the Soviet Union. The summit went on for days. There was all kinds of wrangling, negotiating by both sides related to nuclear disarmament. My father told us, my brother and I, the story that it was made known to the office that he was working in that Reagan was on the cusp of actually taking Star Wars off the table. I mean, it wasn't working anyway. So it was a way for Reagan to move the talks forward. It was going to be a bargaining chip, a throwaway. But when the project manager that my dad worked for told the team, my dad said that'd be a mistake. He said regarding Star Wars capabilities not working that while we knew that it wasn't working, Gorbachev didn't know that. So my dad's thought was if we kept Star Wars on the table, it would make Gorbachev panicky and he'd know he had to capitulate or invest massive resources and the Soviets didn't have the money to chase that rabbit. Well, the project manager apparently thought about it, told my dad to write it up, which he did. So overnight, my dad created a case study white paper, which was forwarded to Secretary of State George Shultz and Secretary of Defense Caspar Weinberger. And they received it. And they showed it to President Reagan. And the next morning, Reagan went back to the table and he told Gorbachev the U.S. would not back down on Star Wars. And the Soviets then eventually capitulated and agreed to more reductions in arms than they had ever planned. And a few years later, Gorbachev began the process of actually taking the Soviet Union apart and the Cold War was allegedly over. So that's a great family story about my own dad's part in that, but I don't have any documentation for it. I wish I did, but my brother and I, we love that story. And in a sense, my dad was doing peace. He was helping Reagan to actually do peace. They were treating peace like a verb, knowing that to preserve peace and to seek peace that one must sometimes do and not just be. The world's an unsteady place right now, like I said. I look around and I wonder sometimes if we've seen it all and then another amazing factoid will emerge that seems to throw chaos into the lives of everyday folks. I mean, it's seemingly everywhere. Frustrations with polarized government, tearing down of traditional values, assaults on kids and families and the undermining of parental authority, transgenders and women's sports, a recessionary economy, defund the police and the rise of crime, the southern border is more porous than a slice of Swiss cheese, and the U.S. military can't meet recruiting goals. I could go on, but you don't need that. What you need is peace. So let me suggest to you that it is possible to both have peace and to do peace at the same time. And we have to. Don't for a second think that if you get a minute to breathe freely and relax that it means there's nothing left to do. That's my point. Consider the Hebrew term for peace that indicates that peace may be upon you, peace may be a thing to be grasped, peace may be a restful moment, but peace may also be a thing that you do. So blessed are the peacemakers. It's not an idle job, by the way, to be a peacemaker. It's a busy existence. And strength and preparation and forward thinking, those are all the doings of peace. By the way, peace can also be restful, and you can be at peace even when everyone around you is losing their ever-loving minds. It's that peace that surpasses all understanding. I've got it. I know a bunch of you do as well. But even still, we cannot be idle. So keep calm and carry on, and remember that in Hebrew, peace is actually a verb. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There you have it. One of my favorite stories about my own dad, but at the same time, what he's doing is doing the doings of peace. We can't sit idly by. When you're between conflicts, that's when you prepare. You take advantage of those moments, catch your breath, and then you get ready. And hopefully by doing so, you're keeping the next fight at bay. Peace through strength. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.